T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Normally does on a Tuesday, that would be Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. He is on X at CFowlerBC. And we have a podcast that releases every single Tuesday at noon. That would be the On the Bluff podcast. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. Christian, how's it going?
Everything's wonderful, Gabe. How are you today?
I am doing well. I'm glad it heated up a little bit so it's not 30 like it was yesterday. You know?
Did we get our last freeze today? That's the question I really care about. Out of everything that we're going to talk about over the next 30 plus minutes, the biggest thing is, are we officially done with the cold?
No. It looks like tomorrow and through the rest of the week, the lows are still going to be in the 40s and the 50s. But
yep.
We'll have a little rain on Friday.
The high tomorrow is 71, and we have no lows freezing.
Well, the low today was 28. Believe it or not.
Oh, I know. I woke up and it was 29 degrees this morning. It was terrible.
Yeah, but we're good now. We're all good now. The sun came out, and we feel okay. We feel okay about ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, today is actually the start of Memphis football spring practice. How about that? Here we are.
Yeah, how about it?
Football, I wouldn't say it's right around the corner. But we have some guys out there on the field today, and some of the new guys, transfer portal additions. What are your questions? What do you want to see through this spring? Obviously, we know that they've done a good job retaining some guys. They brought some guys in through the transfer portal. I think Ryan's done a good job of sort of reloading the staff. Jordan Hankins, the defensive coordinator, brings in Lou Esposito and Reggie Howard. Both of those guys have been at this program before, sort of hometown legends. And they've hired a GM. They've done some good things this offseason. But on the field, what do you want to see this spring? What do you want to see sort of sort out or maybe play out?
I think you know where I'm going. Can you give me a guess?
Offensive line? Are we talking trenches?
Yeah.
It's
typically where you and I go, and it's not to pander to you and your former life. It's because it's one of the most, if not other than a quarterback, the most important position, and we've seen that over the Ryan Silverfield tenure. When the offensive line has been better, the team's been better. When the offensive line struggled, the team hasn't been as good. And they lose 3 starters and McCalen Pounders, Jacob Likes, and Davion Carter. That's a lot to replace. That is your left tackle, your center, and your guard, who was your best overall offensive lineman. Jacob Likes held down that center position for years and was just really a solid for that offensive line. Now there's a lot of up in the air. You bring in transfers to help, and Jalen Nichols, Trent Holler, Kedro Lewis all coming in as transfers. We'll see what they bring. You know, you would expect that they will at least compete for starting jobs, and you only bring back Jonah Gamble and Xavier Hill, and that's your returners on the offensive line. So how does this group look during spring practice? How do they mesh together? And do they have enough time to come up with this continuity over the next several months to be successful from the beginning of the season on? So that's always where I'm going to start. If there's no quarterback conversation, which we know at Memphis, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about who the day one starting quarterback will be. Seth Hennigan coming back again obviously gives this team a lot of continuity. You've got Mario Anderson coming in the running back. I think we're both really excited about this running back room and a real potential two-headed monster between Mario Anderson and Sutton Smith.
Yep.
It's hard not to like that. Wide receivers, you still feel pretty good about that unit with Rock Taylor, Demir Blankumsey, Kobe Drake all coming back there, which, I mean, like I said, you love that, and you bring in a 4-star recruit as well there. Defensive line, you lose a little bit, a big loss in Jalen Allen, obviously, but still having, you know, Cormonte Hamilton, William Whitlow, Kevontae Spears, Derek Hunter, Jarr Anderson, Joshua White. Like, you have a good bit of continuity on the defensive line, which I like. Linebacker, I think your best overall defensive player resides there in Chandler Martin.
And then they brought in Javonte Mackey, too, from Arkansas State. I'm excited about him. As a freshman, 84 tackles, and he was really their best defensive player at Arkansas State.
Yeah, and the linebacking core should be really good this year. And like I said, I think Chandler Martin is the best player on this defense and overall one of the best players on the team. So, you know, having a guy like him back for that linebacker group is big. And then the secondary, we'll see. You bring back a lot of guys that played last year, but we know that they certainly had their struggles there. And widely, it's the same group with Diego Brumfield, Davion Ross, and Darius Coffey, Greg Rubin. A lot of the same guys are there, and some competition was also brought in. You have some younger guys transfer, so we'll see what they do there, who stands out, if anybody can, you know, come into the spring and show out and maybe compete for a job or take a starting job that we didn't expect. But if you're catching the trend, and what I'm saying is there's a lot of continuity on the team overall. Really, to me, the biggest questions are the offensive line, because you got three new starters there. And in the secondary, and it's not because there's not continuity, it's because it just wasn't a very successful unit as a whole last year. And we'll see where the growth can be there and if some of those new guys can come in and make a difference. But everywhere else, I really don't have questions. Like, we talked about D-line, wide receiver, running back room, quarterback, linebacker. I feel really, really good about all those position groups. So if you're looking at a spring outlook and you're saying there's really only two position groups that we have questions about, that's a very good sign going
into
the season.
Right, and also, like, that continuity you bring up, it's almost the anti-Tiger basketball, if we're being honest. But that's part of the reason you should feel good about next season is because the roster retention, the ability that Ryan and the staff have had to sort of recruit who's on the roster, keep them on board. Obviously, they'll have some guys. I mean, he even said that to me when he joined me, I think, last week. He said they're going to have guys after spring that hop into the portal, but they're just going to try to limit it as they go. Now, on the offensive line, I Trent Holler at center, I feel really confident about him, started a bunch of games at Marshall. Kedrell Lewis started a bunch of games at his last stop. The one wild card here that I've been sort of told could be unbelievable, and obviously he's in his fifth year. Jalen Nichols is an interesting one, isn't he? From South Carolina, just like Mario Anderson Jr., he'll be playing running back. But before he tore his ACL last year in the preseason, he was going to start at left tackle in the SEC for South Carolina. He was slated to be the starting left tackle. And we know if you can start at left tackle in that league, you probably have a good chance in the AAC of being a very effective player.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And then looking, because I didn't necessarily go deep on a lot of transfers, but when you look at what they did in this transfer class, and no, they don't have any of these crazy headliners really outside of Mario Anderson, but you look at a guy like Devin Baldwin, who could come in and compete on the defensive line from Jacksonville State. That's a good addition. You look at Jalen Nichols, like you mentioned, coming in and was in contention for a starting job at South Carolina last year. Taj Rael from Old Dominion in the secondary. Yep. One of those guys that could come in and compete for a job. A.J. Watts, the same from Louisiana Monroe, another guy that could come in and compete in the secondary. So just a lot of really intriguing pieces that they added in the transfer portal. Jaden Dennis, another guy that was a decently rated transfer from Elon, and we'll see how that translates. So they added a lot of really interesting pieces on this team as a whole in the transfer portal. I think they did a really good job. Like, you look at these teams that build from recruiting classes, but then also fill in the gaps with the transfer portal. And I think that's really what Ryan and the staff want to do, is they want to fill those holes with veterans. And that's what they did on the offensive line. And I really like those additions. You mentioned Trent Holler from Marshall, another really good addition for them. So I'm a huge fan of what they did in the offseason. I know there wasn't a ton of hype and buzz surrounding this team last year after the switch in the conference and the teams that came out and just the overall outlook of the conference. But you look at this year, expanding the 12-team playoff, we've seen Memphis be a little bit of a trendy pick to get that spot for the group of five. And you look at the overall roster, and it's hard to argue with. They are clearly one of the, what, best 3 to 5, group of 5 teams
easily
going into this year on paper, easily. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just the sky really is the limit for this team. If they can go throughout this whole season the way that they, on the note that they kind of ended off with the bowl game last year, and keep that momentum, this team is dangerous. And I think we'll see a lot more buzz. We've seen, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit, we've seen some announcements and some talk about the stadium renovations over the past couple of days. That always is going to cause some excitement and some buzz around the program. And then just overall what this team has talent-wise, you know, both with homegrown guys that they've brought in as high school recruits and built up, and then as transfers that are going to come in and help immediately. Like, this team has a lot to be excited about.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, Ryan, it looks like he's getting close to a extension. You know, when we look at sort of what was said by Laird Veach when he talked to the media about it, he said, you know, the terms are agreed upon. They just have to get a lawyer to get that contract all written up. What do you think that thing's going to look like? Just extra years? Do you think he'll get a little bit of new money because of the 10-3 year last year? Or do you think that, like, I guess I'm of the opinion that when we look at sort of how his entire tenure has gone, this is probably going to be a wait and see till next year to give him that big new money extension. If he gets into the playoffs, certainly you give him a big new money extension. But if he doesn't, and you're worried about the future with him, you'll probably just sort of sit on what you give him this offseason.
This is such a difficult...
Well, and isn't it also, I think the interesting part about next year is just how different the outcomes could be, how much different they
exactly.
could be. If he balls out, if this team balls out and they get into the 12-team playoff, he'll be wanted by other schools who may open up in the Power 5.
Yes.
And if he doesn't, if they sort of fall flat, this team, and get to 8 wins, there's going to be questions again about, you know, Ryan, is he ever going to be the guy for this job? The hashtag Fire Silverfield crowd will be loud and proud again. So the outcomes, they range next year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, and it makes what you do in this offseason even more of a question, because if you go ahead and you add more money and more years this year on an extension, then if Memphis goes out and has an incredible year, then you look like a genius for going ahead and locking that up. You know what I mean? Like, you already have that new money there. The expectation wouldn't be for an immediate extension right after that, regardless of the outcome. But then on the other hand, if you give that new money now, and like you're saying, the season doesn't go the way that a lot of us anticipate, and it's a 7 or 8 win season, then that looks like a more and more questionable choice. And if something happens and they do have to part ways, then, you know, more guaranteed money is only a hindrance for this program moving forward. So there's a lot of question marks on that. It is kind of a difficult position to be in, because I feel like this really is a very pivotal season for the football program and for Silverfield and the staff themselves. So it's a tough decision to make, and we'll see how they go about it when the actual details for the contract do come out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We're talking with Christian Fowler. He is from the On the Bluff podcast with me. It comes out every single Tuesday at noon. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. Now let's talk Tiger basketball and sort of transition to maybe a little bit more negative of a conversation, but they crap out in the AAC tournament against Wichita State. Since the last time we talked, I didn't expect it to end there. I expected them to at least get to like a Saturday game and potentially the championship game. But it definitely highlights what has gotten them, what got them to the point that they were at this year and missing the NCAA tournament, losing games against bad opponents that they had no business losing. But with that, we're off to the off season, and now it's just... I mean, I don't know how any other way to put it than saying it's an inflection point for Penny Hardaway and his era in general. Right now, it looks like the only givens to return are Nick Jourdain and Ashton Hardaway. And then you sort of have to, you know, flip through Carl Sharenfant. Does David Jones ultimately return to school? We'll see. But it looks like Nick Jourdain and Ashton Hardaway. Jonathan Pierre gets in the transfer portal and tells the Daily Memphian, you know, the situation was very chaotic. He let it change his personality. He said that there were cancers in the locker room. This season went about as badly as it could have gone from conference play on. And the recovery going into this offseason needs to be in question. And I think most fans and most media members deserve to be as skeptical as we're being right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And you said this was an inflection point for Penny Hardaway. This is a very, I just mentioned, a pivotal season for Ryan Silverfield in the football program. It's very similar, but with more negativity surrounding it for the basketball program. Because you look at, we sound like a broken record, but we have to say it. Like, you look at the way that this team started, 15-2, number 10 in the AP poll, battling for a potential 4-6 seed in the NCAA tournament, and the massive fall from grace there, finishing the season, 7-8 after
yep.
that? 22-10, is that right? And losing in the first round, or in the second round, their first game of the conference tournament against a really, really bad Wichita State team, which is, I believe, 155th in the net rankings. And you said it as well, like, I don't think we really expected anything less than a semifinal appearance. Even with the volatility of this team, you just looked around at the matchups. They got a favorable side of the bracket, favorable matchups, starting against Wichita State. It just felt like, okay, this team's at least going to go to the semifinal, and then we'll see from there. Maybe they go out and get to the championship game, and maybe they even go out there and win it. But to lose in that fashion, you could see it on Penny's face. You could see it on Naquan Tomlin and David Jones' face as they did the post-game press conference. This season was just rough. This season was, as you mentioned, as bad as it could have went from conference play on. It was disastrous and embarrassing. Like, this was not a fun season to cover. This wasn't a fun season, I'm sure, for fans, or I know for fans, just from social media and everything that's been going on there. Like, this was a terrible season. Once again, we're going to see a pretty much a blank slate. Even if, you know, Carl Scherenfant and David Jones come back, it's still going to be almost a completely new roster next year when you look and you see Jordan Brown's out of eligibility, JQ's out of eligibility, Naquan Tomlin, Malcolm Dandridge, maybe Caleb Mills, depending, who knows what happens there. Do they try to get a waiver with a medical tag on it for his injury this year? And how does that situation play out? It's going to be almost completely a new team again this year. And it's how does Penny go about it? And people are going to talk about the NIT bid and turning it down. You're going to have differing opinions there. Honestly, who wants to see this team play in an NIT game? They backs against the wall in the AAC tournament. They couldn't even get up for one of the worst teams in the country, you know, like a middle of the pack, the worst teams in the country in Wichita State, to potentially punch a ticket to the NCAA tournament. So there's no way that they would get up for an NIT game when they all came here with the aspirations of the NCAA tournament further. So honestly, I think it's best for them not to. You can have your opinion on if that's right or wrong. But just objectively looking at it, Penny and the staff need to immediately hit the ground
right.
with recruiting.
To me, it's deeper than, like, listen, I think it's bad form to deny the NIT bid and act like you're above it, because this program, based on where they've been in the Penny Hardaway era, they're not above it. They've been to two NCAA tournaments and won one game. Like, I agree with that. But it's March 18th, you had the transfer portal open, and Penny has talked about for years wanting to get this thing done quickly, wanting to get his team ready by June or July so they have more time with each other. That's the only way you can do it, is if you deny this NIT bid.
Yeah, for sure, because you need 100% of your focus being on recruiting now and washing the taste out of everyone's mouth that was this year. And that started yesterday. You know, that started as soon as players were actually able to hit the portal, next year starts. You don't have to worry about preparing for an NIT game that really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter at all. It doesn't do anything. Even if Memphis were to go win another NIT championship, it does nothing for this team, because we know that they won't be back. We know that these guys are out of eligibility. So just start fresh, start new, exit interviews, get those over with, done. Wipe the slate clean, start over again, and do everything you can to do better than you did this year, whether that's personnel, whether that's decision making, whatever that is, you know, character of guys, whatever that looks like, start it yesterday. Start it March 18th. build it over the next couple of months, get those guys in, get the team set up and locked in, and have that core, not the core, have the whole team from the summer on and build that up throughout, build the chemistry, build the camaraderie, and have a team that's ready to go compete on a nightly basis and not only get up when the lights are bright or not have these potential issues in the locker rooms that we've heard about. Just get it right, you know, get things right, correct things, and right the ship for next year, because that's all you can do now. You can't sit and sulk on this year and be worried about this year. It immediately has to be a move-on mindset and looking towards the 2024 season.
Yeah, and he's reached out to a couple of guys already. Doug McDaniel, who was the point guard at Michigan last year, that 8-24 team that got Juwan Howard fired. But he had 16 points per game, 36% from three. I think the more interesting one is the guy that I heard he reached out to today. Derek Murray is reporting, and he covers, you know, NBA draft, a little bit of college hoops as well. He's reporting that he's reached out to Arturo Dean from Florida International. And I almost like that thought process more because we know what Penny wants. He talked about it after the game against Wichita State, the one they lost that ultimately ended their season at 22-10. He said this team was not built the way that I wanted it to be built. On the defensive end, Arturo Dean led the entire NCAA in steals last year. It feels like that's the type of guy or you know, consistently that you need to reach out to. You know, guys like Nick Jourdain, who's returning next year, those are more of the style of guy you need to have. You need to have a clear pecking order from top to bottom, something they didn't have this year to start, and it clearly it wore on that team. So I'm just curious, what do you think he needs to do as far as, like, the guys he brings in? We know about, you know, personality, guys that may be more high character. But I think that if we don't see it skewed to the defensive side of the ball, we need to be skeptical.
Yeah, I agree. Just with what we saw this year with guys that weren't the best defensive players in the country or guys that weren't primarily defensive players, guys that were offensive-minded. That's just not going to work with Penny's system. And we saw that this year. And you say, well, look how successful Kendrick Davis was, and he wasn't known for his defense. No, he wasn't. But you watch Kendrick Davis. He put effort in on the defensive end. Yes, he was undersized. Yeah, you know, he wasn't the best matchup for Memphis when it came to
But he got knockaways and steals.
Exactly. And the effort was there. There was never any questioning Kendrick Davis's effort or desire or want to be there. That was never in question at all. So you're mentioning Arturo Dean and leading the country in steals last year at 3.4 a game. Also a little bit turnover prone at 3.7. And you can look at Doug McDaniel and say that his turnovers were a little bit less, but the steals were way less as well. So someone like Arturo Dean, who is also not the biggest guy at 5'11", but is someone who is relatively defensive-minded, averaging over 5 rebounds per game as a 5'11 point guard is not something that you see all the time. So having someone that you know is willing to rebound, willing to pass the ball, and an effective shooter and scorer, also can get out in transition on the defensive end and get steals and get takeaways, is something that this team needs from the top down, you know, like from the point guard position up, have guys that are defensive-minded. They don't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be the guys that are, this is the lockdown best perimeter defender in the entire country. It doesn't have to be that. It just has to be guys that are willing to play on that end of the floor. Because if you don't have that, then you have the catastrophe that you had this year. Because Penny's entire mindset, system, game plan revolves around the defensive end of the floor. So everybody that's on this roster, from the guy that's going to play the most minutes to a guy that's, you know, going to come in and get 2 minutes at the end of blowout, every single player on this roster needs to have a defensive mindset for Penny's system to work. We've seen it in years past be effective when you have those guys, and now we've seen it this year be ineffective when you don't have those guys. So that is the criteria. That is the number one criteria. Get guys that are willing and able to play defense, and past that, you whittle it down however you want, whether it's character, three-point shooting ability, whatever it is past that. But the first criteria for Penny Hardaway needs to be defense, because that is his system.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this last night on the pod. It is kind of wild to see, you know, the two main sports. You have Ryan running the football program, Penny running the basketball program. the way that the thought process has flipped around their job security, it's kind of wild. It's kind of wild to see how that's all played out over the past year.
Yeah, it has been insane pretty much, because you go into this season, I mean, rewind it to June and July last year. Obviously, even later than that, you can go up into November and December when Memphis was rolling.
Right.
But there was so much hype around the Memphis basketball program going into the season. They showed that they could do it earlier in the year, a top 10 team in the country. It was at an all-time high in the Penny Hardaway era as far as excitement, arguably, with on-the-floor product. I know the off-season, there were more hype around teams potentially because of number one recruiting
sure.
classes. But just strictly from on-the-floor play, quality of wins, like this was, through the first 17 games, the best Memphis team we had seen under Penny Hardaway. And then you contrast that with, you know, the 7-8 finish, the second-round bounce in the AAC tournament, the questions surrounding Penny in the locker room and, you know, the roster management and all these things. It did a complete 180. And then you look at the football program, and it's kind of the opposite. There wasn't much buzz or hype going into the 23 season. A lot of people were down because of conference realignment and everything and missing out on potentially going to another conference along with teams that were in the AAC. And then the early season play wasn't necessarily great. And then throughout the year, it improved and got better. And then you end it with a bowl win and 10 wins overall. And so the contrast in that is crazy, because Penny started the season the highest it had ever been for Memphis, ended up the lowest it's been in his tenure. And then for Ryan, you know, starting on with not a ton of expectation and not a lot of hype, and ending on a very high note, and then going into the offseason and doing an incredible job as far as staff and roster goes. So it is and completely different from where we sat, you know, 6 to 8 months ago on both programs.
And here is the terrifying reality, and I know there's some basketball fans that may be annoyed with me saying this, but here's the truth of it. Ryan has built a more sustainable program, seemingly, the past few years than Penny's building. Penny has to redo this roster every year, and I understand that Ryan has some transfers that go in and out, but it feels like he's learned at least a little bit how to retain his roster. You have some of the best players that you could possibly have returning in Demir Blankensee and Rock Taylor and Seth Hennigan, whereas all the best players for Penny, you have to worry about them leaving. Most of them will leave. You only have one guy that you're really hanging your hat on that could potentially return once he tests the waters for the NBA draft, and that's David Jones, but there's no guarantees on that. I know this is a tough truth to hear for a lot of folks, but it is the truth. Ryan, through the last few years, has built a more sustainable program than Penny.
Yeah, it's a very interesting argument, because you look at the way that Penny built the roster in 2022, and it was largely with transfers, but also still had a decent amount of returning guys. You look, they bring in Kendrick Davis and a couple of other transfers, Elijah McCadden, to come in and play big minutes. And after the tournament loss to FAU last year, Penny decided that's how he wanted to build the roster. Talented young guys, experienced veterans, and that was going to be the way. You look at the way the roster was built this year, there's so much volatility in the way that it's done, and not only from season to season, but game to game, because of the lack of continuity in minutes and just this season.
The minutes continuity metric from KenPom, 341st out of 363.
Yeah, absolutely insane. So there's just so much volatility with a completely new roster, because it's a team that's never played together. There's no meshing. There's hardly any camaraderie. Even if these guys are, you know, hanging out off the floor, like there's only so much time they have to spend together before live bullets are flying and they're in the games and stuff is happening and you got to adjust on the fly. And then you look at the football program. I mentioned it earlier when we first started talking about them. The core is pretty much the same. You're just plugging holes with transfers. You're bringing in talented, experienced guys that can come in and fill a position of need. And that, as you're saying, is much more sustainable, because you can do that every year. If you keep your core every year and you add, I know they added 20 guys this year, but if you're just looking at it realistically, all 20 of those guys are not going to play.
And they're some of them are depth pieces. Some of them are behind guys that are already here, have been here for a few years.
But the main 5 to 7 guys that are the most talented of the group will be starters this year and will play very meaningful snaps and mean a lot to this team. And then you look at Penny's model. It's all new guys coming in. They're going to play the majority of the minutes, and we have no idea how they're going to react to being on the floor together or in different situations, because there was no one to set that culture. And when those guys come in, say, this is how we do things here, no questions asked. There's no leniency towards that, which vice versa on the football aspect of it. You bring new guys in, you bring transfers in, there is a culture set, and those guys come in and you say, okay, this is how it's done. This is how we've done it for years. This is how we've been successful. This is how we won 10 games last year. This is the process. This is the expectation. And you just don't have that when you bring in an entirely new roster. So that's kind of the compare and contrast of the two, between the way the two coaches have built each respective roster.
Yep. Now, last thing for you, Christian, talking with Christian Fowler at C Fowler BCM, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.